You know, he had must needs go through Samaria. And then he had a conversation with this woman about a lot of things, about living water, about who it is that gives it, about her sin, her inability to change her life, and then talked about worship, where we're going to go worship at. And then finally, in verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" And watch what it says next. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Where'd they go? To the well. That's where he was. And I've come here to go to the well. I've come here to go to the well this morning. But I want to get my subject out of verse 42. And they said unto the woman, "Now we believe, not because of thy saying, we have heard him ourselves and know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world." Now we believe ourselves. And we all have to believe for ourselves. We can't believe for anybody else. We have to believe for ourselves. No matter what anybody witnesses to us, no what anybody says to us, no matter how many messages we may hear, you've got to believe for yourself. You've got to believe for yourself. As much as you want to see your family converted and saved by the grace of God and to know Christ, you still have to believe for yourself. And this is a continuation of our Lord's dealing with this Samaritan woman. His disciples had gone to buy meat, and they came back, and then they see him and this woman having this conversation. And it troubled them. It bothered them. She left her water pot, left it, you know, she went to get water and forgot about it. She run telling to come see a man. And so she goes and she's alone, our Lord's alone with his disciples. And they're there with him and they're wondering why in the world our Lord is talking to this Samaritan woman. They know that Jews and Samaritans don't have anything to do with one another. So he uses this opportunity to teach them some lessons. And everything that God brings upon us is to teach us, to instruct us. And hopefully, I know for myself, I'm a very, very slow learner. In fact, most of the time I have to be taught the same lesson over and over and over again. But it says there in verse 31, let's just go down through the verses. "In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, 'Master, eat.'" They said, "Lord, here we brought you some food. We know that you've been left in Jerusalem this morning, and the way you went down to Samaria. And so, you know, listen, eat." They left him sitting on the well, tired, weary from his journey, sitting there, and they left to go get some food, to bring back some food. And so they said, "Lord, here we got the food, let's eat now." But look what our Lord said unto them. He said unto them, "I have meat, food to eat that you don't know anything about." Now this wasn't a rebuke. This wasn't a rebuke at all. Our Lord uses every occasion to instruct his disciples. And we need to be instructed. And he's the best teacher that there is. He's the very best teacher that there is. And our Lord said, "Oh, my meat is not, I have something to eat. You don't know anything about it. You don't know anything about it." So they began to question one another. Verse 33. Hath any man brought him something to eat? Well, we went off to get food, so maybe somebody else brought him something to eat. Maybe somebody else had already fed him. And they began to question one another. And they were ignorant. He had just told them, you know not. You don't know that I have meat to eat. You don't know nothing about it. And you know not. And here's the proof that they knew not what he was talking about. They said, if somebody brought him something to eat, and they think strictly and fleshly, material things of our Lord, and our Lord is talking about spiritual matters, spiritual food. They're talking about feeding the body, and Christ is talking about feeding the spiritual, feeding the soul. And look what he said again there in verse 34. And he said, well, I'm going to tell you what my meat is. I'm going to tell you what my food is. I'm going to tell you what I eat. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He said, that's what my food is. What is my food? The will of him that sent me. That's the first meat. I delight to do thy will. Lo, I come, thy will I delight to do. And our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, sent. No one sent after him. The Father sent him into this world. And he said, my meat, my food, I live by this right here. This is my purpose to come. This is everything that's my life. My bread, my water, my sustenance, everything about me is the will of my Father which sent me. And not only that, but I tell you what, he sent me to do something, to accomplish something. To do something. And he said, I'm going to finish what he sent me to do. He said, my meat is to do that will. And he gave me a work to do. And I'm going to do that work. And he said, meat. You know, here's the thing about it. Food is what satisfies and strengthens and gladdens the heart. And our Lord had been fed. And listen to me now. He had been refreshed and strengthened just by coming and doing the work that the Father sent him to do with just this one woman. Why was he doing at that well? Sitting on that well. The Father sent him. Why was he there? He had a work to finish. And he, if he gets them one at a time, that's still he's doing his work. Oh my, he went out to do some of the work the Father sent him to do. Now his body was tired, weary, but oh, when he got to talking to that woman, oh, he started getting fed, started to be encouraged, started to have food for his soul. What's he doing? He's rich in one of his elect. Sent one of them that the Father sent him to do. And oh, look over here with me. This is the will of him that sent me. Look in John chapter 6 and verse 38. Look in John 6:38. Oh, the will of him. And that's what we pray. Our Lord taught us to pray. Our Father which in heaven, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what we want. We want the will of him that sent us in this world to be done. But look what our Master said here in verse 38. For I came down from heaven. He told, he said, he sent. He came all the way from heaven. He came from the Father's bosom. He came from glory, where the angels worshipped and adored him, where they delighted to do his will. And he said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will. Most of us get up of a day and we have to go to work. We have to do somebody else's will. But our Lord Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but listen to this, but the will of him that sent me. And I don't care what that will is what he's saying. That's what I eat. That's what I live on. And he said, I'm going to tell you what the Father's will is then. I'm going to tell you what it is. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all of He which He hath given me. He gave her that woman at the well. He said, I got to go get her. I got a lost sheep over there, Samaritan. She's going to come at high noon. She's going to get her some water. But she don't have any idea that I'm going to be there too. And look what he said. Of all which he hath given me, I love this right here. I should lose nothing. You reckon he's going to lose this woman? Oh, he's going to make a stab at it. He's going to do the best he can. He's going to tell her that she's got to make a choice. He's got to tell her that except it's up to her will. He's got to tell her that she's got to go to work for me. She needs to be out winning souls for Jesus. No. And I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last. Not only am I not going to lose it, but when it goes to the ground, I'm going to raise it up again. And look what else he said now. And this is the will. That's three wills here. The will of those He gave me, and the will of Him that sent me, and everyone which seeth the Son. That's the will of God, that if you see the Son and believe on Him, have everlasting life. And again, I'm going to raise Him up at the last day. And oh my. So He must needs go through Samaria. Must keep. He got to save this woman. He got to keep this woman. And then she must be raised up at the last day. And the will of God is to give. He gave our Lord Jesus Christ to people. All that the Father giveth me. He gave Him. That was the will of God. That God, before the foundation of the world, chose a people in Christ. They were His elect, His sheep, His chosen, His foreordained, His predestinated. Call it what you will. But they were His. And He came into this world to do something for each and every one of them. Every one that the Father gave Him. And it's a multitude that no man can number. It's 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands and thousands. And He goes into this world and He came to do His Father's will. And all of those that were given to Him. And this woman was given to Him. I was given to Him. Was you given to Him? How do I know I've been given to Christ? Do you believe on Him? Have you seen Him? Do you rejoice in Him? Do you rest in Him? Do you embrace Him? Do you bow to Him? Do you find your whole soul satisfaction in Him and Him alone? Ah. And then the Son, the Father chose them. Then the Son come to save every one of them that the Father chose. And then the Scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5:9 that God hath not appointed us for wrath. Listen to it. But to salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Appointed to it. And I tell you what, if you got an appointment, if God's appointed you to salvation through Jesus Christ, mark her down. You may not have ever heard the gospel yet, but one of these days you will, and you'll believe. Ain't that right? Oh my. That's why I said, beloved, we're bound always to thank God for you. Because He has from the beginning chosen you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto He called you, what? By our gospel. By our gospel. And oh, that's what it says down in verse 39 here in John chapter 4. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Him for the saying of that woman which testified. He told me all that ever I did. They went out there to see if He knowed everything about them. Because she told them, she said, no doubt when she told me all that ever I did, they knew exactly who she was and what she had done and her whole life. So they said, boy, if He knowed everything about her. And she's rejoicing in it. And she forgot the water pot. She said, maybe I ought to go and hear what this fellow's got to say. See if he knows about me. That's one of the most comforting things for a believer is that God knows everything about us. I love that. You can't hide nothing from Him. Now, I can hide something from you. I can hide something from my wife. We can hide things from one another. But there ain't no hiding from God. Oh my. And then down verse 31 it says this, and many more believed on Him. Believed because of His own word. What He said to them. So let's go back down over here to verse 35. So our Lord's talking about the will of Him that sent Him and to finish His work. And our Lord said, say ye not. Now He's talking about the meat of the will of Him that sent me. And He said, this is the will. That we got a harvest to do. We got a harvest to take care of. We got to get out here and we got a great harvest. And He said, don't say there are yet 4 months. We got 4 months before we need to go into the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. And I think He's talking about these Samaritans that are coming out to see Him. You know, this scripture says that they all started coming out of the city to see our Lord Jesus Christ and hear what He was saying. And He said, lift up your eyes. Look at these Samaritans coming here. They're coming here by the dozens. They're coming here by the hundreds. And they're coming here. He said, do you listen? And He says this, for their wife, all ready to harvest. And oh my. And He uses sowing and reaping to illustrate the work, the preaching, the witnessing of the gospel, the witnessing and the word of Christ. And look what He said there in verse 36. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathers fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. Now I got to thinking about he that reapeth receiveth wages. Now what kind of wages do you suppose they receive? Sowing and reaping. He said, he that reapeth receiveth wages. Well, I tell you what Paul said about, he told the Thessalonians, he told the Ephesians, he told the Colossians, he said, you're my joy. You're my crown of rejoicing. He said, what he's saying is that the souls, the people that are converted and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's your crown. That's your rejoicing. That's your wages. And I'll tell you some other wages that we get. We get peace. We get joy. We have rejoicing. We have comfort. We have assurance. We have Christ. We have the gospel. Now, what more would anybody want than that? Huh? What more would anybody want than that? And when I look out at some of you have been converted a long, long time. And some of you, a lot of you here got converted under my preaching. There's folks in Indiana got converted under my preaching. Some of you got converted under Brother Henry. Some of you got converted under other people. But it don't make no difference who it was that was preaching. All he doing was sowing. Somebody else comes along and reaps. And one of these days, I'm going to leave here, and with all my sowing, somebody else is going to enter into the labor, and they're going to reap what I sowed. And it don't make a bit of difference. It don't make, you know, you may sit here preaching and go someplace else, and that other preacher reaps the reward of my preaching, or they reap the reward of some of that other preacher. It don't make any difference, does it? No. You're my wages. That's a good payday, ain't it? That's a wonderful payday. Oh my. Don't that make sense, Cody? Oh my. We, you know, anybody that's working for wages, you know what our Lord called them? hirelings. And then when he sees the wolf coming, he'll flee. But boy, I tell you what, if God puts you in the harvest, God puts you into sowing and reaping, you're going to stay right there until you yourself have no more labor to do. Ain't that right? That's what our Lord said. Labor, labor, labor. And then he says, gather fruit unto eternal life. And you know what the fruit is, and through the consequences of the gospel is eternal life. The consequences of witnessing, the consequences of the gospel is that these people that are reaped and these people that are sowed and they are reaped, they have eternal life. I want you to, let's look back over here at Luke 15 just a moment. Let's look at this for just to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. Oh my. You know, sowing and reaping go together. The consequence of people believing your witness is like this woman was, that they have life eternal. Look what it says down in verse 5. He's found that lost sheep. Luke 15:5. And when he has found it, he layeth it on his shoulders. And what's he doing? Rejoicing. And what does he do? He comes home, calls together his friends and his neighbors. I want everybody to know what's happened to me. I want everybody to know I've been found. And he said, he calls his friends and neighbors together, saith unto them, rejoice with me. And that's what we do. I found one of my lost sheep. And when we see somebody converted, we just get happy all over. And then I look down in verse 9. And when she's looking for a lost coin and looking for some lost money, and when she has found it, verse 9, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Oh my. So you see what I'm saying? That's the labor there. That was the rejoicing. And that's what happens. That's the reaping and sowing. And let me show you something else here in 1 Corinthians 3. Let's look in 1 Corinthians 3. I talk about sowing. He said, this is a true saying. They sow together and they reap, you know. One herein saith true, one soweth, another reapeth. But 1 Corinthians 3, I think you know where I'm going. And look what it says here in verse 3. Oh, excuse me, verse 5. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 3:5. They were arguing over what preachers are the best preachers and who they like the best. And Paul said, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? Who in the world are they? But ministers by whom you believed. Even as the Lord gave to every man. There's them wages he's talking about. There's what God gives us. He said, I've planted, Apollos watered. But listen to this now. But God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything. He ain't nobody either. Neither he that watereth is anything. But God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth, they're just one. They're all in the same labor, all in the same field. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Receive the souls that Christ gave him. And all right, let's go back over here now. John chapter 4. So this is a true saying. One soweth, another reaps. And then look what he says there in verse 38. And he's talking to his disciples now. He said, I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored. Other men, the prophets labored. The preachers labored. The prophets and the priests, and they all labored. And now you're entering into other men's labors. And I labor. I'm laboring. And you are entered into their labors. You're going to reap what somebody else done. That's what our Lord say. You're going to reap what somebody else done. And then, oh my, I love this right here now. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the testimony of that, for the saying of which the woman testified. Oh my. God uses, you know, which testify he told me all that ever I did. You know, God uses weak vessels. He uses the weak to confound the mighty, the foolish to confound the wise. Here he took this weak woman, this sinful woman, this woman that was living in adultery, this woman who had an awful reputation. He used her, this weak, weak vessel, to confound these mighty Pharisees, these mighty religious folks, and used her, this foolish thing called this woman, this sinful woman, to go and confound the mighty. And he uses weak vessels. Now, she never labored at all. She never labored at all. And yet, there was a reaping from her testimony. Ain't that what it says? She went in there and said, come see a man. Well, what happened? A whole bunch of folks went out to see him. And what did they do? They believed because of what she told them. You say, well, ain't nobody going to believe anything I say. Well, why not? Why wouldn't they? You've got a blessed Savior. You yourself have been saved. You can tell what He's done for you. You can tell why He done it. You can tell who did it. You can tell that He's the one that started the work and He's the only one who can finish the work. You can tell them that you was a sinner. Oh, that'll shock them. Especially when they think you're such a fine fellow and such a good person and all that. You just go ahead and tell them, say, well, I was a sinner. I am a sinner. And you know what? God saved me, a sinner. And I tell you something else, I'm still a sinner and He's still saving me. He told me everything there was to know about me. Somebody might believe you. Somebody might believe you. Oh, oh my. And let's look at 1 Corinthians 4:7. Let's look at that. I don't want to wear you out looking at things, but this is such a blessing right here. This is such a blessing. 2 Corinthians 4:7. Oh my. He used this harlot whose heart he opened to go be a witness to him. Look what it said here in verse 7. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure. And oh, what a treasure it is. The gospel, the grace of God, the blood of Christ, the righteousness of Christ, the salvation of God's elect, salvations of the Lord. We have this blessed treasure in earthen vessels. And these old sorry, sorry bodies. And these old pots of clay. Paul called it a tent. In a frail, frail tent. In earthen vessels. And the only reason we have this treasure in these old clay pots is that the excellency of everything that's done shows that it's God's power that does it, that it ain't us. We're just pots. Yeah. That's all we are, just pots. But oh, what a treasure we keep in that pot. Every once in a while he'll turn the pot up, you know, and dump some out. Oh my. And he used this harlot whose heart he had opened to witness. And God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As the heaven is high, my ways are higher than the heavens and deeper than the sea. Oh my. And then look what it says then on down in verse 40. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, that's the first thing you got to do. Got to come to him. She said, come, see a man. First thing you got to do, you got to come to Him. Come to Him. You know, I'm a firm believer in the gospel of the grace of God. Call it Calvinism. Call it sovereign grace. Call it tulip. Call it anything you want to call it. But I do know that all of it says this, that you got to come to Him. We're always telling people to come to Him. People say, come try our church. We say, come to Christ. They'll say, come and try the Lord. We say, come to Christ. They'll say, come and pay your tithes. We say, come to Christ. They say, come and join our church. We say, come to Christ. Huh? That's what our Master said. Come unto me. And beloved, I'm going to tell you something. The Scripture says once you ever come to Him, you don't never stop coming. Peter said it like this, to whom coming? When you're sick, you're coming. When you're well, you're coming. When you're in the middle of the day, you're coming. When you come to a service like this, you're coming. You're always coming to Christ. Ain't we always coming to Him? Yes. And you know what? One of these days, because we keep coming to Him, He's going to come. He said, I'll come. I'll come. And take you unto myself to where I am. You keep coming, and then He'll come get you. Oh, bless His holy name. Oh, my. Look what He goes on to say now. Come unto Him. Then they ask Him, would you stay here with us? Would you stay here with us? We want to hear what you got to say. We have seen so much about you. And oh my, you've talked to us and you've taught us and we've come to you. Would you stay here with us for just a little while? Oh, would you stay with us? And our Lord said, yep. He said, He stayed there for 2 more days. Huh? And then it says, and many more. I like that, many more. Many more believed on Him. I love this right here. Because of what He Himself said. Because of His own word. You know, that's what we have to... It, when it's all said and done, we come to Him. It's His word. It's His word that opens our heart. It's His word that teaches us. His word that instructs us. His word is the one that begat us again. His word is what was preached unto us and we believe the gospel. And they said, many more believe because of His own word. Now watch this. And then they all turned and said to that woman. She's still in the picture now. And they said to that woman. Oh, listen, we're so thankful you come told us. Well, we're grateful you come and told us. And we believe because you told us. And now we want to stay here because you told us. But they said, and what she said to the woman, now we believe, not because you said something. We heard Him ourselves. We heard Him ourselves. Oh, we heard Him ourselves. Whew. Oh, I hear His voice. We've heard Him ourselves. Oh my. And that's what I said. We have heard Him ourselves. Now we believe. Now we believe. And that's what I'm saying. Now we believe. Not because what somebody else said. We've heard Him ourselves. And this is what we know. This is what we know. We know this. That this is indeed the Christ, the one sent of God, God's prophet to tell us of God, God's priest to offer himself a sacrifice for us and sit at God's right hand and make intercession for us. And he's God's king to rule and provide for his people. And we know that this is the Christ. And what's this? The Savior of the world. The Savior of Jew and Gentile, bond and free, male and female. He come. It don't make no difference who you are, where you're from, or anything about you. He's the Savior. If you're in this world, he's the only Savior that there is in this world. He's the only Savior that there is in this world. Let men say what they want to say. They can go to the Pope. He can live in a king's palace. And people can kiss his ring and kiss his feet. And bow down to him. But there's only one person. One person. And he don't ask us to kiss anything. He just says, come to me. And you know what it says? He kisses us. When the prodigal returned, what did the father do for him? Kissed him and kissed him and kissed him. Scott used to go on and kissed him and kissed him and kissed him. Oh my. There's only one person we're going to bow to, one person we're going to worship in this world. And that's our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our Father, in the blessed, blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you allowed us to gather here this morning. Like this woman, frail, weak, no power, no wisdom, no strength, no abilities except what you give us. It's your treasure. It's your treasure. And we thank you that you've given it to us. And it indeed is a treasure to our hearts, a treasure to our soul, a treasure to us, precious, priceless. And Lord, we don't know just how precious and priceless it is until we get into eternity with you and we learn a little at a time. We thank you and bless you for Christ's sake. Amen. Where's that song at in this chorus? I will arise and go to Jesus. Let's see. Is it not in here? Yeah, 26. 26. Come, you sinners, poor and needy. Let's turn to 26 and stand again. Come, ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, bodies and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love. Number two. Come ye thirsty, come and welcome God's free bounty glorified. True belief and true repentance, every grace that brings you. Three. Let not then go to Jesus. He will embrace me in His arms. Oh, in His arms of my dear Savior. Oh, here are 10,000 charms. See you tonight, God willing.